The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
I loved Paris so much. I can't stop talking about it as it is.
That is romance novelist Candace Havens. You may know her as Candy. She's been on my radio show in Dallas for a very long time. We've been very, very good friends. She's also a noted entertainment columnist. And I love to have people on the show when they get back from a trip. And I've wanted to do a show on Paris for a very long time. And Candy just got back from Paris. So I invite her on the podcast to share her experiences and a little bit of my experiences. Welcome back from Paris, Candy.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I wish I was still there.
It is an amazing city. I wasn't prepared for how beautiful Paris was going to be when I went there.
Right? Everyone told me it's so dirty and the people are mean, and it was none of those things. It was beautiful everywhere we went, and we were all over the place, and the people were so kind and so nice. I do recommend, if you're going to do things, when you walk in a store, say bonjour or bonsoir, depending on the time of day. Bonjour for morning, bonsoir for night. And people just want to help you. Like, they get that you don't know their language, but if you try a little bit, they're just so helpful. And you actually gave me that hint and told me not to worry, because I had been studying my little Duolingo and Tiny Cards apps, which actually helped me quite a bit. I learned all the food, so that was amazing, on those free apps. But yeah, you were right. I didn't really need to know the language to get by there.
Yeah, in Paris, a big city like that, an international city, you'll find that most people who are working with visitors will know English. Now, if you're going out to some smaller cities, it might be totally different, but definitely in Paris. Yeah. And then also, if I could just sum up and recap what you said there, if you approach people, if you're being told that some place is not a friendly place and you go in there with that attitude, you're going to find that they're not friendly. But if you do what you did, go in there and approach people in a friendly demeanor, you're going to find that they're going to be friendly back.
That's absolutely the truth. You know, we came across some rude tourists. The only rude people in France were tourists from other countries. And I did see a difference in the way they were treated. I did see that. But we smiled and we were like, we're so sorry. We can't, you know, we have terrible French accents. My friend didn't know anything. She didn't know any French at all. And I knew very little. And they were just so kind to us. I can't even express how lovely the people were there.
Now, let me ask you this. How much traveling have you done to Europe before this trip?
This was my first trip.
I thought it was. And
yeah.
And let me tell you this about Paris, and I didn't really realize this till I started visiting other cities, and Paris was one of the first places I visited as an adult. It's a lot more spread out than other European cities. No, seriously, I mean, it's a lot more spread out. Like Rome, you could walk to everything in Rome.
Right, right. So here's the deal. I have two really bad knees that have to have surgery, and my foot is broken. I went to Paris with a broken
foot. Oh, my gosh.
I did. I have to have surgery in a couple weeks. But I did it. I did it. It was hard. And I'm going to be very honest. Like, we did three museums in one day. Do not do that. We did the Lingerie, which is the Monet paintings. We did the Museum d'Orsay, which is my favorite museum. If you only go to one in Paris, go to the d'Orsay.
I would disagree with that. Disagree with that statement. You gotta go to the Louvre. If you want to go to one, you got to go to the Louvre.
Whatever with the Louvre. Whatever with that. The d'Orsay is beautiful. It's in a train station.
Yeah.
Van Gogh, Renoir, Manet, Degas. I mean, they just have everybody. They were doing a Picasso Blue exhibit when we were there. I love art, so I could get crazy about that. And they have the most beautiful restaurant. If you go, eat at the restaurant at the d'Orsay. I believe it's on the fifth floor. Even the chairs are works of art. They're made out of glass. It's just the most gorgeous place I've ever been. But we did that, the d'Orsay, the Lingerie, and the Louvre in one day.
That's a lot. That is a big day.
And the Louvre, by the time we got there, we did that one last. Big mistake. But by the time we got there, it was, I was like, where's the Mona Lisa? Where's the Venus de Milo? Okay, I'm done. I was so tired.
Well, I will say that probably most people who go there are, where's the Mona Lisa? Where's the Venus de Milo? And then they're done. It can be overwhelming. It's so big, it can be overwhelming.
It is. And I would love to go back and spend an entire day at the Louvre. I really would. Like, there was so much. I was sitting there, and there was Caravaggio right there in front of my face while I sat on a bench. It was amazing, and it was overwhelming. But I would like to go back and spend a day or two. I think they say you can spend a whole year there, an hour a day, and you still wouldn't see everything at the Louvre.
Can I ask you, what was the scene in front of the Mona Lisa? I want to see if it was similar to the scene when I was there.
Pretty crowded.
Yeah.
We were so shocked, though, because everyone had told us the Mona Lisa was so tiny. And we got there and we're like, it's not tiny. Is that the real Mona Lisa? It's about the normal size painting. Like, we're the only people, my friend Ricky and I, who would say that the Mona Lisa was regular size. Everybody else said it was so tiny. But it was about five people deep to try to see it. I could sort of see it from the side, but yeah, it was kind of crazy, and everyone was taking pictures.
Yes, yes, it's like it's almost like paparazzi in front of it. It was amazing.
I want to make a couple of suggestions. If you are going to those museums, start with the lingerie, and the reason why is the lines are a lot shorter. It's a much smaller museum. It's a beautiful museum, but you can get your museum passes there, and it won't take you as long. Like, we maybe had four people in front of us, whereas if you go to any of these other museums, you're probably going to wait in a pretty long line. And my other favorite museum was the Rodin, where the Thinker is. It's set in a beautiful home, but also the gardens are gorgeous there. So that was another one of my favorite museums, the Rodin. And it was just one of those really peaceful kind of places, kind of like Notre Dame. When you walk in and you sit down, you're like, this feels different. It was like that.
Outside of the museums, what else struck you about Paris as one of your favorite things?
The food, of course. The
yeah.
food everywhere is absolutely amazing. And the shopping for me. I love to shop. but I found that if you went to places, like I asked everybody who had ever been to Paris, including you, what are some of the things I should do? One friend told me to go to the Galeries Lafayette, which is a huge, it's beautiful. You don't have to buy anything there. The stuff is really expensive. It's Louis Vuitton, Prada. Places like that. But the view from the rooftop, you can see all of Paris at Galeries Lafayette. Like, that was one of my favorite moments. And we actually had lunch up there. It was just gorgeous. And they also have some of the best souvenirs there as well at the Galeries Lafayette. But the building itself was built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And so it's got that Belle Epoque, very beautiful glass, stained glass. It's just the most gorgeous place. But my other favorite things about Paris was just sitting at the sidewalk cafes and watching the people. And I highly suggest you take time to just sit and observe, because you will feel Paris more that way. I don't know how to explain it. And it's just such an interesting city. It's very cosmopolitan. And the people there are, it's just such a melting pot, like in New York, but a lot cleaner and nicer to me. Anyway, I love New York, don't get me wrong, but it was just nicer and cleaner. And I don't know, I like that. And everybody's like the Champs-Élysées, you know, with all the shops and stuff like that. But I found that very pricey, super crowded and touristy. I just really wasn't into it. I love the Arc de Triomphe. I could not make it up those stairs.
Oh, you couldn't?
Yeah,
that's the best view in Paris, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I felt like I got that, and I was able to use the escalator from the top of the Galeries Lafayette and another French department store called Printemps, which has a restaurant at the top. And also, those two places are the best places to buy souvenirs, because you can get stuff from Versailles and from the Louvre and all of that. They have it all there on, like, their sixth or fifth floors. And so you don't have to, you know, shop everywhere you go. You can just enjoy the moment and then pick up your souvenirs at the Galeries Lafayette or Printemps. But anyway, that was fun. And I also enjoyed going to the Walmart of France called Monoprix. Have you heard of these?
No, I did not. No.
Yeah. So it's like a Walmart kind of place. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff made from other countries and stuff, but you can also find French cheeses that are just amazing. Because if you go to the fromageries, the little cheese stores there, it's very expensive. But if you go to the Monoprix, it's the same cheese. I brought a lot of cheese home, I'm not going to lie, for me and for my dad, who loves cheese. Prix as much as I do. The Monoprix is great, and they have clothing, and they have scarves, and they have little French plates and kitchen gadgets that you might pay a fortune for somewhere else, and it's very cheap. So I kind of call it the Walmart of France, but it was a really fun store. So make sure you visit a Monoprix. It's Monoprix if you go. But yeah, that and macarons, you've got to
get
some of
them. Yeah, they're very good there, yes. Well, you know, what's interesting is, if I can circle back on a couple things that you mentioned there. First of all, the cafe, the whole cafe scene. It's interesting how the chairs kind of are facing out, like they're all facing toward the street when you walk by a cafe, almost like they're beach chairs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's just so you can see the view of Paris, right? We went to so many cafes. I can't even tell you. One of my favorites was right across from the Opera House, which happened to be closed the day we were trying to go visit it. But it's still gorgeous from the outside.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And we sat in little chairs, and then we realized that they were doing rehearsals, so people were coming out singing, and it was just really cool. And you are, like, I'm sitting next to one of my best friends, Ricky. She and I just had a blast. And we're just sitting there, just people watching, you know. That's why they do that. That's why the chairs are all set up that way. Also, you don't want your back to the street because you don't want someone to take your bags or your things. And I'm going to be very honest. We felt safe the whole time.
Yeah,
I
never felt safe. Well, you know, one of the reasons, too, that the cafes are so popular is that most people's apartments are very, very small. And if you have people over, you're really not able to entertain in your home because it's so small. So if you were to come over to my place, we would go to the neighborhood cafe, and that's where we would hang out. And the cool thing, too, is, and this does not happen in the U.S., they don't care how long you're at that table.
Right. They expect you. So
yes.
It's a whole different culture. You have to ask for your check.
Yes.
You have to ask for more coffee. And it's not them being rude. They don't want to interrupt you.
Yes.
Like, it's a whole different culture there. You don't really have to leave tips. They're paid well for what they do. We still left a little bit of tip because we had a problem with that. But we left a little bit. But we tried to leave a tip one place, and she was like, no, that's too much. You know, and I was like, it was great. But, yes, you're exactly right. The places there are so tiny. We got super lucky. We did an Airbnb. We had a huge apartment, and it was beautiful. And it was in the 17th District, which is a little bit out, but not too bad. And for the price, was just absolutely amazing. But you would get claustrophobic in most of these places, and you need to get out and go and sit. I said it before, but it really is a great way to enjoy the city. And I'm going to say something that's going to freak people out. Uber places, yes, metro is much cheaper, trains are much cheaper, and from what I understand, it's fairly easy to do. But if you have physical problems like me with my knees, going up and down those metro steps can be quite a problem. I want to write the Fat Girl's Guide to Paris. I really do. we were able to use Uber, and it added about $350-$400 to our travel budget, but we were able to see all these neighborhoods, you know, as you're going from one place to another.
Yeah.
So we saw a lot of stuff you wouldn't have seen on the tube, or not on the tube there, but the subway there, the metro. But the only trade-off is they drive crazy. I mean, super crazy. Like, there's no traffic lanes, there's no turn lanes, there's no stoplights, there's no stop signs. Like, it is crazy. It's chaos. So we just sort of looked up and out the windows. Somebody else had taught us that, you know, and so we just did that. But it was a little heart jarring sometimes, those rides.
Now, you know, I will say, though, that and I understand that you had some physical limitations. I totally get that. We took the subway everywhere. And this is circling back to the point that Paris is so spread out. You really have to find your way around town. You can't really walk from like the Eiffel Tower to Montmartre. That's just way too far to walk.
Yeah.
So you really got, and the subway is pretty good pretty easy to figure out. The other thing too, that you had mentioned earlier about the one building that was a department store and how beautiful the building was. That's the thing that struck me about Paris. They have so many beautiful buildings, and Paris was one of the few European cities that wasn't destroyed in World War II. So there's a lot that's still intact from, you know, some of these buildings are just hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
If we had one of these buildings, like in our hometown, people would flock from all over the United States to see this beautiful building. But in Paris, they have so many, it doesn't really, you know, register with them. Like, I remember we were in Montmartre, and they had this one church. It was 100 years old. We were like, man, that church is beautiful. And our tour guide goes, wow, we hate that church. It's so new. It's so horrible. It's the ugliest church in Paris. We're like, I think that place is unbelievably beautiful.
But, I know, right?
But that's just, you know, there was one building we went by. It was a building for the World's Fair that they had there, the exposition back in like 1900. And we thought, man, this building's gorgeous. They're like, well, that building, we use that for storage.
Yeah, it's crazy. We did one of those river tours, which I highly recommend because you get to see it from all the big sites from a different angle. And the tour guides are really fun on those things. But I really enjoyed that because you're seeing so much more from that river view of like the Petit Palais and the big one, the big palaces, you know,
yeah.
And what they call petite. It's just pretty amazing. But I agree with you. There was nowhere you looked that was, you know, horrible or, you know, too terribly new, or it was just gorgeous everywhere we went. Even out where we were in the 17th district, we were staying in an apartment building that was built in the late 1800s, and the moldings and everything inside were just so incredible. And like everywhere we looked, and I'm sure they all take that for granted, but Ricky and I were just like, oh my gosh, look at this, look at this, look at this, everywhere we went.
Yeah, you know what's neat too is when we've really gotten into staying in Airbnbs. The last two times we went to Europe, we stayed in them, and you're staying in neighborhoods and you kind of get a different kind of feel than being in a hotel in a tourist area. You get to kind of feel the city from a Parisian standpoint or wherever you're staying. And I really like the Airbnbs.
I do too. And I suggest staying just a little bit. I mean, we were still in the city, but just not like Saint Germain and all that. That's super touristy. And different types of feels at the restaurants and the different type of people there. And it was, you know, there were people in our building who were taking their kids to school, and they were all dressed up in the little French uniforms. It was the cutest thing ever. I just loved it. Like, I loved everything about it. I was so worried. I have wanted to go to Paris my entire, as long as I can remember. And I was so afraid I would get there and be disappointed. I'm going to be very honest. But it so much exceeded my expectations.
Well, let me ask you this. Are there a lot of things on your list that you didn't get to do that you wanted to do or that you're hoping to go on another trip?
Yeah, I absolutely. We didn't make all of the museums. We didn't get to the Jewish Museum or the Army Museum where Napoleon is. Quite a few of that sort of thing. We didn't go all the way up in the Eiffel Tower. I want to do that, and I want to eat at the Eiffel Tower. The restaurant was being fixed while we were there.
I see.
Did you do that?
Yeah, we got to go all the way to the top. They have like a champagne toast at the top of the Eiffel Tower. And they also have an apartment. Gustave Eiffel, the guy who built the Eiffel Tower, named after him, he had an apartment up there. And the apartment's still intact. You can look through the windows and see his apartment at the top.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
That's so amazing. Yeah, so we didn't get to do that. But there, and there were a couple of places we didn't get to eat that I absolutely want to try next time. So, yes, and like I said, we didn't spend a lot of time at the Louvre. Like, that was our last museum of that day. We had done 20,000 steps. I was tired.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want to go back and redo that. And just, you can't do it all. Like, we had 7 full days, and we could not get it all in.
Did you get to Notre Dame? Did you get to go there?
Yes. It was, if people keep asking me, what was your favorite place? That was my favorite place. And I'm not big into churches and cathedrals and stuff, but there was something about, I stood in the rain to go in this place, right? And the Paris rain, which really is kind of softer than most rain. I'm not going to lie. It was kind of crazy.
I think you're so in love with Paris. You're thinking the rain is better there than anywhere else. I'm sure they have hard rains too, Candy.
Yeah. I'm sure they do, but not that day. It was a soft rain. And as we waited to go in, and I love my friend Ricky. She was like holding her little umbrella over some older people in front of us. Like, she's just the kindest person. But we're all waiting to go in, and you get inside, and I'm like, it's going to be a church, whatever. And we get in there, and it is like a feeling. Like, I can't explain it. I did not want to leave. I did not want to leave that place. There was a baptism going on. Like, it was just so amazing. And we got to sit there and watch that. And just the beauty of the place, the rose window, all of the statues, the Joan of Arc statues there. And it's just gorgeous everywhere you look. But it was more of a feeling. And I think that's what I took away from Paris in general, is a feeling. Like, it was a fun, beautiful place to be. You know, like, I cannot say that enough. But I'm going to say, we got away from the touristy stuff every night and did dinner different places that were just a little bit out from the touristy places. And I highly suggest doing that.
You know, can I also suggest, and I don't know if you got a chance to do this, and most of Europe's, like, big cathedrals now, they have ways for you to go to the top, like, and see the view of the city and walk along the dome. And
right.
And Notre Dame has that, and it's and a lot of places have elevators too. Like, we went to the top of the Vatican; they had an elevator to the top also. So
right.
It is a lot of steps. And then across the street from Notre Dame, did you go to that church? We just wandered in this church, and we didn't realize the significance of the church. I think it's called Sainte-Chapelle.
Oh no, we didn't make it in there. It was actually closed. Because we went to Shakespeare's bookstore, which
yes.
is right there. I love that place. It's a big deal for writers, and of which I am one. So I spent a lot of time there. By the time we got done, it was closed. What was inside that made it so special?
Oh,
people were telling us
just,
about it.
Just the crown that Jesus Christ wore on the cross. That's it.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
I love it.
No, that's,
oh, my gosh.
That's what that church was built for, to hold the crown that Jesus Christ wore.
The
crown of thorns. The crown of thorns.
And now I want to go back tomorrow. I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, the church. Now, you don't see the crown. I'm not sure where it is now, where the story is, but the church was built to hold that relic. And the stained glass in there is unbelievable. It was actually being renovated. The stained glass was being renovated, which was kind of cool because I kind of wish they wouldn't renovate it all, because they renovated. One side was renovated and it was brilliantly bright, and the other side was very, you know, had centuries of dirt on it. So the contrast of it was really interesting. And I kind of wish they would leave it like that so you could see just the difference. But the church was amazing. And we didn't even realize the significance of that church. We were like, oh, you know what? We got a half an hour. What's this church? We just went in it, and then we started like, oh, my gosh, this place is pretty amazing.
Oh, I'll have to check that one out. I'll put that on my list for next time. And we are going next time. My friend Ricky, I mean, we got on the plane and it's like, okay, when can we go back? What do you think, spring? Because we were so excited. Like, from the food, like, the food is better there. Please tell me you think the food is better there. It's so fresh. And
I'm going to be, you know what, I hate to say this, but I've mentioned this on our podcast before. When we go, we have such a packed itinerary, and we get up early, and that's the one thing that really suffers when we travel, is we are not good diners.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
So here's what we do. We do one big meal a day. Like, we have a croissant, chocolate croissant, let's be honest, for breakfast. and the baked goods are they don't use preservatives. So everything is really good and very fresh. If you get a baguette, you have to eat it that night, right? And so every day we would lunch or dine someplace really cool. And then for dinner, we usually just did a baguette, some tomatoes and some cheese in the apartment. And it made it really great for us, because we could take a long lunch, or maybe we switched off and had dinner that day and did the baguette and whatever. So I highly suggest, wherever you go, I was in New Zealand, same thing. You want to take time and enjoy the food, because it's amazing in France. It really is.
I know. That's one thing that we always say. We just rush. We try to see everything. And we went to Budapest this summer, and we actually had a friend in Budapest, and he took us to some incredible restaurants. So we did a better job. And I'll be honest, too. I've been to McDonald's many times overseas.
I did not eat a single, like, there's not that much in actual Paris. I saw one McDonald's, but I did not really see any American anything.
Oh,
there.
I always end up seeing a lot of stuff. And I'll tell you why I've said this on the show before, too. McDonald's is great because they have bathrooms and they have internet service that you can use. And when you're traveling, sometimes you need to stop for that.
Yeah, I agree. In France, though, do this. If you go to a cafe, just buy a coffee, and they'll let you use their restroom, or a soda or whatever. We did that a couple of times. We just, especially right outside Notre Dame, we went to, and they had the best crepes there. Like, we decided to have crepes for a snack, you know? But then you could also use the restroom. If you need to go to the restroom, just go to one of the little cafes, sit down, say you want a cafe, and then go to the bathroom. And it costs you $5, but it's worth it.
Whoa, big spender there. $5 to go to the bathroom.
Hey, sometimes it's worth it, you know?
Is there anything else on your list that you're like, next time you go back, that you regret you didn't have time to see and you definitely want to see?
Well, Like I said, a lot of the museums and that sort of thing. But I'd also like to get just a little bit outside the city as well. And I'm hoping next time I can go, I can get up some of these steps like the Arc de Triomphe and get up there and really see the city. But I'm telling you, as someone who does have a disability, if you can't make those steps, you can get on top of those department stores very easily and see all of Paris. It's just gorgeous. But yeah, there are a million places I want to go back. We didn't really get to spend a lot of time at Sacré-Cœur. I want to go back there, which is a big cathedral, and you can see all of Paris.
That's the church, by the way, in Montmartre, Sacré-Cœur.
Yeah.
That the tour guide said that they hate that church. Parisians hate that church. It's a beautiful church. If this was in your hometown, people would flock from all over the country to see Sacré-Cœur. But in Paris, they're like, nah, it's only 100 years old. We hate this church.
We didn't get to spend a lot of time there. I'd like to go back. We didn't get to spend a lot of time in the Marais. I would like to go back. We didn't really spend a lot of time in St. Germain. These are the little neighborhoods, right?
Yeah.
And so I absolutely want to do all of that. I do have one suggestion. If you're going to Paris and you love macaroons, go to Lotterie. They have one on the Champs-Élysées, which we went to and we stood in the line and we got our cookies. And then we got to the airport and discovered we could have bought them there. They don't have as big a selection, but they only have a four-day shelf life. So you want to buy them as close to when you're leaving as possible. So don't be afraid to get your cookies at the airport. That's all I'm going to say. And make sure you put them in the fridge as soon as you get home. But yeah, go enjoy the food. Love Paris. I would go back 100 times. I can't wait to go back the next time.
And can I suggest something else to put on your list? Okay.
Okay.
You talked about going to Sacré-Cœur. I would suggest you, that neighborhood that it's in is called Montmartre, and it's high above Paris. And I would suggest you go there on the weekend when they have an art fair. They usually have art fairs on the weekend. Artists have their wares out, and it's unbelievable. And it's very we bought a couple of pieces that were just unbelievable and very inexpensive when concerning art. And I would highly recommend. I think that you would really enjoy that, Candy.
Oh, I absolutely would. Yeah, I bought some art. Galleries Lafayette had an in-residence artist while we were there, and inexpensive watercolors of all these different Paris scenes. And he was an older gentleman. I just loved. I wish I had bought 100 more of those pictures because they're just gorgeous.
Okay, now before I let you go, I want you want to give a plug here because you brought a lot of stuff back because you're opening a shop here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So this is for our Dallas-Fort Worth listeners. Or no, is an online shop or is it?
Online.
Okay. This is for everyone around the world. Okay. So Candy, give us the name of the shop that just opened, by the way, and what they can find in it because you brought some stuff back from Paris, correct?
Right. I brought stuff back from all of my travels, New Zealand, all of these different places. The name of the shop is The Curious Pink Owl. I won't explain why I called it that, but it's The Curious Pink Owl. And I have French scarves and purses and little things that I found in Paris that you'll find there, as well as hats and all kinds of fun stuff, teapots from all over the place. And so it's just a fun little, we call it curating because it's just fun things that I like, basically, but I think other people will love as well. And it's one-of-a-kind gifts, most of them. We don't have a huge inventory. It's like one or two of something. So I hope you guys will check it out. And like I said, now I have a reason to go all these places and shop a little bit more.
Yeah, and I'm gonna put a link on our blog at travelwithhawkeye.net so they can find it. So if you want to go back and you're listening and couldn't remember the name of the website, go to travelwithhawkeye.net, click on our blog, and it'll be up there, okay?
Very cool. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for spending some time with us. I love to talk to people when they get back from a trip and then kind of share our experiences. And I would say one thing to you, Candy. You're going to fall in love with every European city like you fell in love with Paris. I mean, you seriously will. And I know you want to go back to Paris, but I think there's other cities that you're going to love equally as much. And don't spend all your money in Paris is basically what I'm saying.
Next on the list is London, Scotland, and Ireland.
Okay, so all right. Okay.
Yeah, that's our next summer trip. So, yeah, okay. I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
And I think in Budapest, we got back from that, and they called that the Paris of the East, and we were blown away by Budapest.
Oh, I do want to go there. My son's been there, my youngest, opera stuff, and yeah. I definitely want to go there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Candy, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate the time, And au revoir.
Au revoir.
And there she goes off into the Parisian nights. Candace Havens, noted syndicated entertainment columnist and romance novelist. I call her Candy on our Travel with Hawkeye podcast. My name is Mark Hawkeye Lewis. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits. And don't spend all your money in Paris.